Well, good morning. It's good to be back among you. Hopefully I can remember how to talk to people. We'll see. So the lost sheep, it's quite a fun little story. Before I talk about it, we're going to have one of these things where I get everybody else to get engaged in it. What is the most memorable thing you've lost? What's the most memorable thing you've lost? Shout something out. Grown-ups, keep it clean. What's the most memorable thing you've lost? I heard someone say wedding ring. Anyone lost a wedding ring? Roger lost his child. That's very careless. Anybody else? Shout one out. I need to hear it clearly. You've lost your diary. Oh, that is very inconvenient. Okay, everybody. This was a shout out, not talk to each other. Right. You lost your car. Right. Anybody else? Shout one out. Okay, Piero's going to walk around with a mic.
My wedding ring, 6 weeks after we got married.
Wedding ring, 6 weeks after they got married.
Oh, 6 weeks after you got married. Oh, that's embarrassing.
It wasn't intentional, right?
Okay. Another one. Most memorable thing you've lost?
Yeah, I lost my youthful smell.
No further questions. Anybody else? What's the most memorable thing you lost?
My respect after I accidentally put salt in a lemon drizzle mixture.
Okay, these are not the sort of thing I was expecting, but okay. How did you feel when you lost it? Just shout out, everybody, just one word. What sort of feelings? You lost something memorable. Sad? Yeah, anything else? Panicky? Embarrassed? Annoyed? Mostly negative feelings, aren't they, with losing something? Did you find it, and how did you feel? So assuming you did find something... Oh, that's a good gesture, Sue. Thank you. It was not a word. It was a... Okay, how did you feel when you found something that was memorable? Any words? Relief? Anything else? Happy? I heard someone say happy. You were irritated with yourself. Only you, Ruth Stanley. Last one. How did you feel when you found something you lost? It was a memorable thing you lost and you found it. What was that? Excited. Thank you, Jonah. You've got a loud voice. Okay. So that's it for congregation participation. You'll be glad to know. Right. I'm going to tell you this quick story again that we saw in a video. This is in the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament. It's in chapter 15. And it might surprise you to learn that in this story, Jesus is speaking to a very self-righteous, very religious group of leaders, and he's questioning how they see God, which is quite a big thing to do. He's saying to the most religious guys on earth, he's saying, you've missed it. You've got it wrong. God is not how you think that he is. That's the context of this story. So here we go. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. I love that it says that, muttered. They muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, as I said, the context of this is these religious leaders are really annoyed with Jesus because he's eating with the wrong people. That's basically their main issue. Jesus, you're eating with the wrong type. The people that are undesirable, the people we don't like, and you really should stop doing that. That's their problem. Jesus does not ignore this and sort of hope it goes away. He faces it head on. And he answers them in this brilliant way with a story. So as we've seen, this story is of a man who has 100 sheep. Anybody ever owned 100 sheep? No? I think you're lying. You've never owned 100 sheep, honestly. Right. If you had 100 sheep in the first century, then basically you were rich, right? You own 100 sheep, you're rich. And if one of your 100 sheep runs off, then it doesn't matter that much economically. It's a bit of an inconvenience maybe, but it's not the end of the world. Anyway, this man in the story, one of the sheep wanders off. This is not unusual. This is just ordinary sheep behavior. It's not doing anything weird. It's just being a sheep. It has no direction. It's completely hopeless. Now, on its own in the wild, a sheep will probably be all right for a few hours, maybe a few days even. But without the protection of a shepherd and its community of other sheep, it's very vulnerable. It's not going to last. It's in difficulty. And so the owner in the story wastes no time. Jesus says, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Well, actually, I reckon most people wouldn't bother. Think of it this way. If you had £100 in your pocket and you lost a pound, right? You got £100 and you lose a pound coin, you might have a look around for a few minutes, right? Is it down the back of the sofa? Is it by the door? Have I put it in my other trousers? Like, you might have a look around for that pound coin for, 5 minutes? Something like that? You probably would not spend the entire day looking for that £1 coin if you had another 99, would you? It's just not an efficient use of your time. But the man in the story goes looking for the one sheep. And this tells us, because we know he must be well off, that his pursuit of the sheep is emotional. It's not about money. It's not about his business. He's attached to this sheep. He loves this sheep. And when he finds it, he's so pleased. He has a party, invites his friends, and everybody's probably stood there at this party with their glass of wine thinking, this is weird. We're at a sheep rescue party. What's an appropriate gift? A woolly jumper? That just seems, I don't know. Very strange situation. But there's two amazing things that this story tells us. Two amazing things. Firstly, God pursues us because he loves us. Now, the point of a parable, one of these stories, is it tells us something that's true about life. And in this one, Jesus is saying something incredible about God, something that all the religious people of the time even would have found offensive to say about God. And here's why. The way that most people, I think, definitely most religious people, we think like this. We think, if I do the right things, whatever they may be, then I'll be accepted and included. And, you know, if God's out there, if God's real, then he'll deal with me in that way. You know, if I live well, if I'm moral and I'm kind and I make good decisions, I'll be okay with God. And that sounds fair enough, doesn't it? You may think that way too. But Jesus is saying, to the surprise of many, no, it's not actually like that with God. From God's point of view, you are like a sheep. You can't find yourself. You can't rescue yourself. You might be a very capable human being compared to everybody around you, but spiritually, you cannot find your own way to God. It doesn't work. But there's wonderful news. God pursues you. And as uncomfortable as it may be to think, well, I can't rescue myself, the maker of the universe is so invested in you. He has so much love for you. He will personally focus on and pursue you. Yes, all of us, but also within that, you. You personally. And that means there's nothing that we need to do to contribute to our rescue. That's hard if you're a very religious person to hear. But it's wonderful if you know that you're human and you're messed up and you need somebody with more love than you can muster yourself. And that's exactly what God does. Not because he needs us, not because we have economic value, but because he has affection for us, an attachment, A love that goes far beyond our usefulness. How good is that? Right, Christians in the room, there are many of you. How good is that? Yes, it's quite good, isn't it? Yes. Oh, we're a bit too blasé about this because we've been in church for years. Yes, maybe we are. This is amazing. Second thing, God brings us home because he loves us. When the owner of the sheep finds the sheep, it says he joyfully brings it home. He's just delighted he's got this sheep back. That's it. That's the whole thing. And what's often missed is that the owner brings the sheep back into the fold. The sheep needs to be brought back into a place of safety with the owner, yes, but also with the 99 other sheep. Home is not just the sheep and the owner sat in a field on their own. Home is the whole community. And in the same way, we can sometimes talk about God and we can think about God in our culture in a very individualistic way. Christians can be very guilty of this. But the picture Jesus paints is of a missing sheep being out on their own, but a found sheep being back with the owner and amongst their fellow sheep. There is something about being home spiritually that means being alongside other sheep. And God's intention is not that our home is just a sort of private, personal thing with him, but to be a part of his people, a community who know that spiritually we're all like sheep. We've all gone astray. We all need rescue. And if you're visiting today, that's what church, hopefully this church, is all about. Not that we have the answers, not that any of us can rescue one another, but we know the owner who can. Just to finish, the last line of that parable is a little bit awkward. Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And if you read that, it sounds like Jesus is saying, well, 99% of people don't need to repent or turn towards God, and 1% do. It sounds like that when you read it. But that's not what it means. Remember, Jesus is addressing some very religious people, people who think that some people are in and some people are out, and of course, in their own minds, they're very much in. And they cannot believe that God would want to build a community where everybody is invited, even the tax collectors and sinners who are they're regarded as the worst people. But that's what Jesus suggests. The reality is everybody is the one sheep at different points every day. And everybody needs to be spiritually rescued. But when they are, amazingly, it's not a cause for frustration. It's a cause for celebration. God is delighted to rescue us. He's delighted when we are back home where we belong. And so what Jesus is doing with this story is telling us this is what God is like. You might have been a follower of Jesus for ages, but it's easy to forget this. Or you might be new to all of this. You might never have sat in a church before this week. You might be someone who's dropped out of church, or you've become a little bit apathetic because you've somehow lost what God is like along the way. But God wants you to come home, which is not about a building or even a church service, but to him and the global and local community that he set up through what Jesus did through his death and resurrection. He made it possible. That's how he finds us. Whatever you've done, whatever has been done to you, whatever you think of yourself, God is like the owner in the story. He just wants you to come back home. He just wants you to come back home.